What's up? Y'all ready? Ready for some heaven and hell? It's going to be a fun 4 weeks. I don't think there's any other topic in our culture today, especially amongst Christians, that like we get a lot of curiosity about. Anybody curious about what happens after we die? Right? We have theories. We don't really know. I think a lot of times we love to learn about it, but sometimes we're scared to talk about it. It can be offensive to other people if we start talking about heaven or hell or what's going on after people die. But if you look at culture, right, it's all over the place. We watch things about the afterlife in movies. Does anybody have any idea what movie this is at the top left? This is one from when I was a kid. You know who the guy in the middle is, though, right? Chris Rock. Anybody ever heard of Down to Earth? It's this really weird movie about a guy who wasn't supposed to die, but he did, so the angels in the, you know, kind of tuxedos or whatever send him back down to Earth in a new body. It's really weird. No theological basis for that movie whatsoever. In fact, that's the common theme here. The one in the top right, one of my favorite kids' movies. What is it? Coco. Do y'all like Coco? Yeah, it's actually a really, really good movie. Our kids love it. But as I'm watching it, I'm like, man, this is not true. It just doesn't make sense. And when I talk about theological basis for what we believe about the afterlife, what I'm going to is this. Okay, what does Scripture actually say about it? Not what do men and women believe about it, but what does Scripture say? So not a lot of evidence for Coco-type afterlife situations for us. What's the bottom one? Okay, confession. I've never seen it. Who has seen it? Okay, so not everyone. I figured everyone had. I had to ask Anna the plot line. I don't even know what it's about, but I know there's bad theology all over it because this dog dies and then he has like some time warp that takes him back to Earth and then he gets to prove himself of why he should go to heaven, and it's a work-based theology and it's stupid. But it's about heaven. It's about the afterlife, right? We also see it in TV shows. Who's seen an episode of this? I heard some gasps. Okay, I've never seen this, but apparently it's about a girl who ends up in heaven, and she actually was supposed to be in hell, and so now she's just living life in heaven for some reason. I don't really know the theology there either. We see it in songs, AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, little Highway to Hell, Stairway to Heaven. Anybody? Any rock fans? Okay, there you go, Rafe. All right, we got a couple. Most of y'all are like, what in the world did he just say? So there's things about afterlife all over culture, because we're actually very curious about it. Most people, not all, but I'd say most people, majority, over 50%, probably believe in some type of afterlife. Something that goes a little bit beyond this world. And there's lots of different theories. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to do our best to look in Scripture and see what God says about what happens in the afterlife, heaven, hell, that kind of thing. This is not a textbook. Okay, a lot of y'all just finished studying for the year, you know, a month ago. Now you're in summer, like you're used to textbooks. This does not lay out answer by answer what we have for our questions. It's just not. So we have to go through and find, man, what does God actually say? So the next 4 weeks, here's what it's going to look like. Today, all we're going to cover is what happens when I die. And that's actually a huge question to cover. We'll probably talk a little bit about some things that you guys have never heard of. Some of you have, but some of this stuff might be new to you. All four of these have a tendency to feel like a classroom teaching, okay? So I want you guys to know that. It's not a typical, like, we're going to break down a passage and really look at what Scripture says. We're talking a lot of theories. We're going to give you a bunch of different examples of things. We're going to look at some Scripture, but it may feel like classroom. If it does, that's okay. Hopefully you're taking notes. If you don't have anything to take notes with, Houston has some sheets of paper and some colored pencils because that's all we could find. You can hold your hand up and he can bring you some stuff, but we're going to move fast, so I'd love for y'all to take notes. Next week, Caleb is going to cover heaven, so the eternal heaven. What will heaven actually look like? What will it be like? What will our bodies be like? What will we be able to do? Who will be there? All that kind of stuff, and it'll be really fun. Then Kyle's going to take us to hell on the third week, which is going to be really, really fun. And yeah, you excited? Yeah. But we're going to walk through what does Scripture say about hell? Is it a real place? We believe that it is, and so as hard as it is to study it and think through it, it's a very real thing, so we want to go through and examine that. And then Thomas Brown will be back for end times questions. You guys, he's a crowd favorite, and he'll be back to answer like some things about, what about the nation of Israel? How does that affect end times? Will my dog or my cat be in heaven or hell? Some people believe all cats go to hell, but I don't know. So that's what it's going to look like. These are the 4 weeks. Y'all excited? Okay. Just be ready. It's going to be a lot of information. Today, this is the one question I want us to be able to answer. What actually happens when we die? I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what happens when anyone dies, believer or non-believer. We're going to go through some of those theories. But in the Christian world, one that I hear, misconception that I hear the most often is that when someone dies, they become a guardian angel for their family members. Have you ever heard that? I've probably even said it, like, yeah, grandpa's, you know, down looking down upon me, watching over me, that kind of thing. Both of my grandpas have passed. And there's really no scriptural evidence that we turn into angels, right? Humans and angels are very different beings. Only one of us is created in the image of God. Who is it? Humans. So it would actually be a downgrade for us to turn into angels. And there's not a lot in here that says anything about that. And by not a lot, I mean none. And so for us to think like, oh, are those who have died and passed away now look down upon us as guardian angels and float around and grow wings, like, it's just not true, okay? And there's a lot of misconceptions. One thing that most people agree on, not everybody, is that our lives begin either at conception or at birth, depending on where you stand on that, but that before that, there was no life, okay? It's not like we're reincarnating. There are some religions that believe that, but when our life begins, it begins here on this earth. And then we live a life, which most people agree with. Some people say no, that this isn't real, like I don't actually feel that, but I believe this is real. And eventually we will die. Now it's at this point where the theories just go bananas, okay? What actually happens when we die? Let me give you a couple of different, quite a few different theories. Some big words here. Annihilationism. Where do you think this word comes from? What's the root word there? Annihilate, which means? Yeah, completely kill, destroy, wipe out, like just get rid of. So annihilation theory, annihilationism, would be that after we die, that's it. There literally is nothing else. Nothing for our soul, spirit, body, nothing, okay? A lot of atheists would hold this view. How many of you would say, like, this is probably a common view at my school, that a lot of people just go like, there's nothing after this world. Why would you even mess with it? Why follow Jesus? I'd say it's probably a common view. Again, it is not supported at all by Scripture whatsoever. We have the view of the absorption theory. This one's weird. It's this idea that, like, okay, there is something after life, but our personal identity ceases, Hunter goes away, and I become one with the universe, right? I just kind of, my body goes into the ground, and it becomes soil, and my spirit becomes part of this massive universe thing, okay? Not a lot of scriptural evidence there either. I don't even get that one. It doesn't make physical sense to me. The immortality of the soul. This one's going to align closely with what we believe as Christians, but it's missing a major part. What this says is that after we die, our soul lives on. Does Scripture support that? Yes, it does. But what this says is there's nothing left for the body. The body goes into the grave, the body's gone. We believe that Jesus actually has a plan for our bodies, and they will be resurrected, and we'll talk about that. So this one's missing a key piece of the physical aspect. Who's heard of the term purgatory? Okay, if you've grown up in a Catholic environment, my wife grew up Catholic, this is a Catholic concept, and it's basically this holding place that after you die, if you're not super bad or super good, then you go to this place called purgatory, and your destiny hasn't been set yet, and people can pray enough prayers for you on this earth, they can give money on your behalf, and kind of earn your way into heaven, and there are certain things that you can do that then you move into heaven or hell after that. Again, I can't give you a lot of things that negate that because really it's just not in Scripture. That's all I can say. I don't see this concept anywhere in Scripture. Then we have the probation theory, which this one's a weird one. It's that basically this life doesn't matter. That after you die, everyone gets a second chance. It's like a restart. And then you get a glimpse into eternity and you're like, oh, so heaven is real. Okay, so maybe I should choose God. Nothing about Scripture says that the decisions we make in this earth don't matter. Scripture is very clear that what we do on this earth actually sets our destiny one way or the other. Then we have the soul sleep and instant resurrection theory. This is what I'll call the Avatar theory. Y'all ever seen Avatar? We watched part of it on the way to Timberline. It's got bad language. We had to turn it off. But this is, you know, this guy gets into a ship and he travels across space. And when he gets into the ship, he goes to sleep. And when he gets to where they're going, he wakes up. And it's like the last 5 years of his life never happened. He doesn't know. It's like he went to sleep and then he woke up. And so there's this theory that when we die, we go to sleep, which Scripture actually supports, but not in this way. And then we will wake up and eternity will be present. And God will be, you know, judging and everything will be made new. But for us, it'll be like, you know, a snap of a fingers. But it may take some time. I don't think that's true either. Not supported by Scripture. This gets us to the theory that most of you probably hold to or have been taught. That is that after we die, based on what we choose on this earth to believe about Jesus, do we choose to follow him? That when we die, we either go to one or two places, heaven or hell. Who would say this is the theory that they hold? Okay. This is true, but it's not complete. Okay? And I'll explain what I mean by that. But while we do have two destinies, heaven or hell, I think there's something else that happens before we get to those places. And that's what we're going to discover today. Let me give you two principles from Scripture that help me make this decision and form our theology. Write these verses down, Revelation 21, 1 through 4, if you're taking notes. So Revelation is a book written by who? John. Good job, Luke. It's a book written by John, and it's a prophecy of the things to come. So Jesus reveals things to John, and he writes about the things that are going to happen. We see in Revelation 21, which is a key text in understanding end times, I'm going to read this to us. John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now where?'" What does it say? "Among his people," okay? So God's dwelling place will actually be on earth. When Jesus creates a new heaven and a new earth, John says, "I see God's dwelling place goes to be with his people. They will be his people. God himself will be with them on earth and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." So the principle that we see here is that one day in the future, when Jesus comes back to judge and make things new, he will create a new heaven and a new earth. And so the earth that we know will cease to exist and it will be made new, made whole, made right again in the way it was intended to be. And that's where God will live with us. And so next week, Caleb's going to get to cover that. What does this heaven actually look like? It's not heaven in the sky. It's actually heaven on earth, which is a new concept for a lot of people. The same thing is true of hell, in that there's going to be a final destiny for people. But Jesus says that we don't have to wait till a certain point when Jesus comes to judge to experience eternity. Look at this. Luke 23, 42 through 43 says this. And he said, this is the thief on the cross. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus says, when does he say that guy will be with him in paradise? Today, at the present. He's not having to wait till Jesus makes his judgment and creates a new heaven and new earth. But there's something that happens when that guy dies that's immediate, and he will go to be in the presence of Christ. Paul says it like this in Philippians 1. "I am torn between the two. I just desire to depart and be with Christ immediately, which is better by far." And so we're left with this idea that Scripture says eternity will be made new. There will be a new earth. God's going to come live with his people. But there's something that happens that when we die, we go to be with Jesus. So where in the world do we go, right? End of Infinity War, you're watching this and you're like, okay, they've disappeared. What has happened to them? Where did these people go? Did they cease to exist? Now, our theology is very different than Endgame and Infinity War, I promise. But we're still left with this thing of like, if our eternity is meant to be on earth as believers or in hell as non-believers, where do we go when we die? Because that earth doesn't exist yet. And that's why I said this is actually incomplete. And to complete this, we're going to move heaven and hell over, and we're going to add in this thing called the intermediate state. Who's heard of the intermediate state before? Okay, one or two people, and they happen to be staff members. This is great. So we're going to learn about a new concept. This not laid out directly in Scripture where God says, hey, when you die, you'll go to the intermediate state. We call it this as we look in Scripture and see what actually happens to people when they die. And this would be incomplete. This makes it seem like whether you're a believer or a non-believer, you go to the same spot. So actually, there's an intermediate heaven, and there's an intermediate hell. And at death, man, there is a crossroads. And I don't want to jump by this because I know it's important. We're going to be talking about the gospel and the good news of Jesus throughout this series. But when we die, our eternity is set one way or the other. Okay, there's no second chance after we die or anything like that. And that is good news for the believer, and that is terrible news for those of us in here who don't know the Lord. So as we go through this series, I really want y'all to understand that like there are decisions that you make on this earth that absolutely affect the rest of your eternity. Today, we're going to focus on intermediate heaven. I'm actually not going to cover intermediate hell at all. We'll see it a little bit in Scripture, but intermediate hell is the holding place for people before the final judgment comes, before they're ushered into eternal hell, okay? So where do we get this concept? Well, let me give you one story. It's a parable from Jesus. Luke 16. Y'all staying with me? Feel like a classroom? Lots of information? Y'all can do this, okay? Luke 16. This is a parable where Jesus writes, and I think this parable is a little bit different than most in that Jesus usually doesn't name names in parables, right? The parable of the sower or the parable of this. But we actually see some names in here, which makes me think there's a lot of reality to this story. It may not be fully true. It may be a story illustrating something, but I think we can gather something from it. And here's the story. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. So this guy's got it all, right? According to worldly standards, he's the man. At his gate, he even has a gate, so he's got a lot of money, was laid a beggar named Lazarus, probably a different Lazarus than you guys are thinking of that was raised from the dead by Jesus. Lazarus is covered with sores. He's longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. He's a beggar. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. This dude is not in good shape at all. But their fate is the same in that both of them die. All humans die, except two in Scripture. So they then go to the afterlife. The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. This is what we'd call the intermediate heaven. This is where Abraham, the Old Testament believers, anyone who has died that follows Jesus or has put their faith in God, this is where they go. So this beggar was taken there. The rich man also died. He was buried and he was taken to Hades. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So y'all see the picture. Two guys, they die. One goes to heaven, one goes to Hades. This is why I think it's probably a parable and not necessarily a fully true story, is because they start interacting with each other. And I'm just not sure if people in heaven are going to be interacting with people in hell. But here's what we see Jesus says. So he called to him, this is the rich man, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." So this rich man is experiencing hell. He's experiencing all the torment, the lake of fire, all these types of things that we see in Scripture, and he's miserable. And all he wants is Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and give it to him, just to give him a little bit of relief. But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us and you, is a great chasm that has been set in place so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." So what I want y'all to see, although this is very hard to understand in a lot of ways, it's giving us a picture that when we die, there's somewhere where we go, and there's a chasm where people cannot cross over. There's no second chances, right? There's a place that we as believers, those of us who follow Jesus now, will get to be with Jesus and other people. It says he's by Abraham's side. And then others will go to this place called Hades, or will go to this intermediate hell where they await their final judgment. And both of them will be there. But that's not where we will live for eternity on either side. There's something better for us believers that God has set up. It's that eternal heaven that we'll talk about next week. And you may be going, why would we die and go somewhere that's not our eternal home? That doesn't make sense. Let me give you an example. This is our, what trip is this from last year? Costa Rica. Who went on Costa Rica? Okay, a few of y'all. So, Costa Rica. Y'all are in Costa Rica about to head home. Where do you fly? You fly to Tulsa. Are you sure? You went to Dallas, and then you went to Tulsa. Was Tulsa your final destination? What was your final destination? Home, Northwest Arkansas. Now, if you're in the airport, though, and someone asks you, where are you going? What are you going to say? Potentially, if you're flying to Dallas, you might go, yeah, we're flying to Dallas. Some of you might go, well, Tulsa, because that's our final flight destination. Others of you might go, well, we're actually going to Northwest Arkansas. We just have to fly two places and then drive, right? But Tulsa is not your home. Dallas is not your home, because Tulsa's no Northwest Arkansas, right? It's just not. I mean, you can get torchies there, but we're going to have one of those in Fayetteville. You could go to the gathering place. Like, there's some cool things about Tulsa, but y'all, it's Oklahoma. It's Tulsa. It's not Northwest Arkansas. It's not home. It's not where you were made to be, where you live. And even Dallas. Like, Dallas, there's just too many people. And it's Texas. We hate Texas, right? Texas is the worst. And so that's not home. But here's the deal. You might be in Dallas for a couple hours. I don't know how long y'all's layover was. And you might even be in Tulsa for a period while you're waiting on a car or parents to pick you up before you drive home. But those are not your final destinations. They're just a stop on the way to your final destination. And in this, a similar way, heaven, as we talk about it, most of us talk about like heaven in the sky, like with Jesus, that's not our final destination. That's not where we were designed to live. Where were we designed to live? Where? On earth. And we've got to learn that as believers. We don't teach this enough, that our home is meant to be here, but it's meant to be here in perfection with the Lord. And God doesn't reside here right now, right? And so we will go to be with him, but eventually he will come to be with us. So as I search through scripture, here's a couple of things that I found out about this intermediate heaven, the place where believers actually go when we die. This is me and Coop, okay? Coop's going to be a senior. This is just for illustration purposes. The first principle about intermediate heaven, we'll call this hunter will be hunter, or coop will be coop. I actually think when we are in intermediate heaven, our personal identity will continue. And the reason I think that is Matthew 17, 1 through 3. Write that reference down. Does anybody know what happens in Matthew chapter 17? It's this thing called the transfiguration. It's this really cool moment where Jesus gives us a glimpse into eternity and he transforms. And two people appear beside Jesus. Does anyone know who appears beside Jesus? In the transfiguration, on the mountain. Two old guys, Rafe. Close, you got one right. Moses and, yes, Elijah. Moses and Elijah will appear. The reason I think personal identity continues in the afterlife is because how do we know they're Moses and Elijah? There's something about their identity that says that's who those people were. So they don't turn into some spirit and then kind of just float around and have no identity. No, I think I will be me and Coop will be Coop. But we also know from scripture that where do our bodies go? Into the grave, right? Our bodies actually get buried. And I know it sounds sad and morbid, but it's true. Guys, we're going to die unless Jesus comes back, and he might. But if he doesn't, we are going to die. Our spirits will live on. Ecclesiastes says our bodies will return to dust, but our souls will be united with Jesus. So I'll call this the Sugar Bear effect. Does anybody know who Sugar Bear is? It's my cat. You know where she is? She's dead, okay? I know. Sugar Bear died on New Year's Day this year. Just a great gift to start the year. My 15-year-old, 20-pound diabetic cat. Rip Sugar Bear, wherever you are. I don't know. But if you ask my three or almost three-year-old Duke, hey, where's Sugar Bear? You know what he will tell you? She's dead in a box because we buried Sugar Bear. She is in the ground, okay? She's not walking around mystically, like she's not a guardian angel, definitely. But she's just dead in the box. In a similar way, like our bodies, when we die, there's no magic to what happens to our bodies. They go into the ground. Okay? Our soul splits from our bodies. Our soul continues to live, and we get to be united with Jesus in this intermediate place, but our bodies go into the grave. Okay? But 1 Corinthians 15 talks about our bodies being like seeds. What happens when you put a seed in the ground? It grows into something beautiful, better, right? Now, our bodies aren't magically transforming underground, like they are actually decaying. But spiritually, what that means is God is putting those in earth to raise them one day as perfect bodies. We will get new, resurrected, pure, holy bodies. And we are actually be physical people again. Okay? We as humans are designed to live where? We've already said it. On earth as physical beings. We're not just going to, you know, spiritualize and just float around for the rest of eternity. We're not. But when our body splits, there is a debate. Do we get temporary bodies in this intermediate heaven? I think we will. It's just my personal opinion. No scriptural evidence for this really, except that like Jesus is physical wherever heaven is. We know that Jesus ascended into heaven, right? His body didn't stay here. He went up. So he is somewhere physically, which is crazy to think about. Like, where is he? I don't know. But I think that we might get some temporary bodies so that we don't just have physical Jesus and then a bunch of spirits floating around. I think we'll interact. Elijah and Moses, did they have bodies when they were seen on the Transfiguration? Yeah, they saw them as human beings. So something will happen. Our souls will split. We'll go to be with Jesus. We might get physical bodies. We don't know. But we do know, as Ecclesiastes said, that we will be united with Jesus. This is the best picture I could find. I don't know what he looks like, but that's what we're going with. And that's what makes heaven heaven. It's not that we'll be in some cool place. It's that we'll be with him. That believers who choose to follow him on this earth will be united with him after this earth. That's very clear from Scripture. We also see that we'll be alert. Psalm 73 gives us this image that we will know who Jesus is. We will know that we are perfect in his care. So we're not going to be playing dumb the whole time. In fact, if you look at Hebrews, we see in Hebrews chapter 12, after it goes through the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that all those people are witnesses watching what's happening. We will know things are going on. We will be alert in this intermediate place. We'll also be made perfect. We don't have to wait for that final judgment day when Jesus makes the new heaven and new earth. When we go to intermediate heaven, we will be perfect without sin. We'll be with Christ. It's going to be incredible. And then this one I think is important for you guys to know because I think we all wonder. I think we're going to know who other people are. Genesis 25 gives a story of Abraham, and it says at the end of his life, it was 175 years, at the end of Abraham's life, he went to be with his people. Now, some people would say, well, that's talking about he went to be buried in the same place, and I think that's true, but I also think God is giving us a glimpse that, like, Abraham went to live with those others who, by faith, followed the Lord, and he knows them. And so this is my family over here, right? This is Alex, stick figure Alex. We're not going to be married in heaven, but I think I'm going to know who she is. And then these are my kids, Hank and Duke, and we're having a baby in the next like week or two. Don't know if it's a boy or girl, but I can dream, right? So this is my daughter right here who will spend eternity there too. Could be a dude. He's going to be really upset if it is. But I think Coop will know my family. When my kids see Coop now, they run up to him and they say, Coop, and they love him. I think we're going to recognize each other because we are designed not just to have a relationship with God, but if y'all think back to the creation, we are designed to live in community with other people. When God created Adam and Eve, he created Eve so that Adam would have community. I don't think God's going to take that away from us. I just think it's going to be made perfect, and I have no idea what that's going to look like. All that to say, whatever intermediate heaven is going to look like, where believers go before we await that final judgment, and before we get ushered into the new earth, it's going to be amazing because we're going to be with Jesus. Let me give you a couple of differences as we end here between intermediate heaven and eternal heaven. We're just going to go through about four or five things, okay? Intermediate heaven is temporary. It is a stop on the journey to eternal heaven. It is not where we will live forever. And so when someone asks, will you live in heaven forever? The answer is kind of yes and no. Where you go right after you die, not where you're going to live forever. You and I were designed to live with God on this earth, and he will come to live with his people in eternal heaven. intermediate heaven is in the sky. Eternal heaven is here on earth. How do we know it's in the sky? Well, I think we know it's not on earth, so it's got to be somewhere. That's one. But when you look at Stephen, do y'all know who Stephen is? Do y'all know how he died? He was a follower of Jesus. What'd you say? I think somebody said it. I hear How did Stephen die? He was stoned. As he's being stoned, Scripture says that he looked up and he saw into heaven. So there's something about this place, and this is where science really trips me out. I don't know where it is. Is it in our universe? Is it in a different universe? I have no idea. But God gave Stephen eyes to see whatever this place was, this intermediate heaven in the sky. It's kind of fun to think about, even though we'll never fully know. In intermediate heaven, we go to live with Jesus, but in eternal heaven, Jesus actually will come to live with us. So we will go to be with him till he establishes the new earth and makes it all new. Good thing is, in both places, who are we with? We're with Jesus. That's what makes heaven heaven. Intermediate heaven, we mentioned this, but we potentially could have some temporary bodies. It's something fun to dream about, like what would a better body for Hunter look like? I mean, we can go a long ways. And so I think we'll have something that is better than what we have now, but definitely in eternity. Like, these bodies will be made perfect. They will be without sin. I will probably be like 7 feet tall. It's going to be awesome, right? I don't know what it'll look like, but it's going to be incredible. And when we get our eternal resurrected bodies, y'all, we'll have them forever. They won't decay. We won't have to die. They'll be our bodies. And we get to be with Jesus in his physical body. And then the big point with these is in both of them, y'all, we will be perfect without sin. We don't have to wait till that final judgment day to experience perfection. When we die, if we have accepted Jesus as our Savior, if we've chosen to follow him on this earth, we get to reap the benefits of that for eternity, starting the moment we die. It's going to look different for a season before we get back to earth, before we get back home, but it's going to be good. And in both of them, we're perfect without sin. So no matter what you believe about the afterlife, okay, no matter what you believe about what's heaven going to look like, here's what I want you to remember. Our eternity, one way or the other, whether it's eternal hell, eternal heaven, it hinges on our relationship with Jesus. It hinges on what we do with the information, with the good news, and the relationship that Jesus offers us in this world. Not in a second chance, not in purgatory, not in probation, not in any of these other concepts that humans have made. But Jesus says what you do on this earth determines your destiny. And it all comes down to who do you believe Jesus is, and are you willing to follow him? For believers, eternity is good news, y'all. For non-believers, for those of you in here choosing to follow your own path and really rejecting Jesus, I'll be honest with you, it is not good news. Temporary hell or eternal hell, which Kyle will go a little more in detail in, is not good news. But all of us have the opportunity to experience eternity with Jesus and life with him on this earth. And when we think about death, I think death can be really hard and sad. And sometimes we as Christians try to dumb that down, like, no, put your faith in Jesus and it's not really that bad. We even can bend scripture a little bit. I want to end with this verse. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 through 57 say this. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? We sing this. And sometimes we can make it sound like, man, death has no power. It doesn't hurt, right? It's nothing compared to Jesus. When the truth is, the sting of death is in sin. Power of sin is in the law. Like, death actually stings. And many of you have experienced family members dying, friends dying. I have. And to say, like, it's not that big of a deal, I think does injustice to what Jesus did on the cross. But death has a major sting. It's the biggest issue we have with this earth, that we have to die. But the joy comes from knowing where we go after that. And so many of your friends, and maybe even some of you, live without the hope of what it's going to be like after we die. So I encourage you over these next 4 weeks as we go through this, even today, like, man, process this with the Lord. Process this with a cell leader or a friend of like, man, I don't know if I know where I'm going. I don't know if I have that security of what it's going to be like to live eternity. I still am scared of the sting of death. While the sting is real, when we follow Jesus, man, we know that the reward as we cross over into that next stage is worth it. We get to be with the Lord. We get to live in community with believers. We get to experience pure wholeness with no sin. So So as we go through this series, I hope you are encouraged and challenged. Encouraged to walk with the Lord and seek this eternity and to invest our treasures into eternity and not into this world. But also challenged to think like, man, what does my relationship with Jesus look like? Does it reflect that I actually want to follow him? Or is it just something I do every now and then? Let me pray for us as we worship. Lord, thanks for your goodness. Thanks that, man, the Bible's not a textbook, and I appreciate that, Lord, because you give us the ability to dream and imagine and put our hope and faith in you, but with that comes some uncertainty. And I pray that our uncertainty in here would be more in what is it actually going to look like rather than uncertainty of where are we going to go. God, I pray for each soul in here that they would unite with you and would choose to follow you and have that assurance of salvation, that when they die, that they know they're going to spend eternity with you. God, it's the only hope that we have in this world is a relationship with you. And so as we explore these concepts, as we look at heaven and hell and end times questions, God, give us clarity, but we know we're not going to get all the answers. More than that, God, set our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. And I just pray that we would have more and more of a passion to worship you because of who you are and what you've done for us.